as we're talking about adversity, as we're talking about going through things in Proverbs 24:10, there's one verse, and this is the only verse I'm going to read for you today, and it's just this. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. The Passion Translation says it this way. If you faint when you're under pressure, you have need of courage. So it's talking about life's pressure. And I don't know how many of you know this, but like there's a new app called the Face app. And so I wanted to see, like, before you put anything up, Karen, I got to give a disclaimer. My wife is convinced that it's a male that invented this because she feels like men look better than the women. And I'm convinced that, like, when you have beards, it, like, gravitates towards the beard. And so ladies just grow a beard. So here's a couple of life's pressure. This is me and my wife at our 50th anniversary. don't worry, it gets better. Go ahead, Karen, just keep them rolling. This is me and Pastor Sean celebrating his 80th birthday. His 80th birthday. Oh, my Lord. This is me winning state in 2049. Kiping, Ray, we're there. 2049. Tompy's still teaching sixth grade at the middle school, even way past retirement age. Jeff and Jody are still doing kids. I'm so sorry. Hayden, there's good news. You kind of still have hair. That's good news. It's good news if you were wondering. All right, this is the things you can only do if you're the boss, right? because everybody else is mad at me right now. Jody, I apologize. Oh, like Kelly's like, why does Jeff look like he just looks really good? Oh, because Jeff is a handsome man. That's why. So how we develop and how we go through things. And the reason I wanted to pray up front is because, you guys, we are going to go through adversity. And I think the tendency is to not talk about things in the attempt that if we don't talk about things, maybe it goes away. But there's some key things that you and I have to do. Because here's the reality. You've been through adversity, you're going through adversity, or tomorrow you could go through adversity. Like, that's the reality. Like, here's, if you want a message, if you want to talk about the gospel being all-inclusive, if you want to talk about the love of God being all-inclusive, then we have to talk about things that include all of us, and we're going to go through things, and they're going to measure differently, and how you respond to them is different, and your personality, it matters when you're going through things, because there's something, like me and my wife, the older we get, the more I realize we are so different. So different. Not just 50 years later, but like we are so different personality-wise. She is like this solid rock, and she's a responder. I'm a reactor. And there's a big difference between those two. And recognizing those is very important. If I constantly go around and be like, I'm really good at responding well, I'm fooling myself. I have to be intentional on how I react to situations. A reaction is you don't think about it, you just do it. A responder thinks, patiently walks through. Well, gosh, you guys, that is extremely difficult for me. In the last month or so, I've had this self-examination moment, which I think adversity brings out. And we'll talk about that. But there's this self-examination moment of realizing I really stink at reacting. Like I'm really bad. I offend a lot when I react and don't respond. I say things I should never say when I react. I hurt people very much when I react. What is that? That's a heart issue. It's a heart issue of what is really going on inside my heart. And here's what I've realized. I've realized that there are things that have happened to me in my life that I've never let go of. And I've pretended that I have. And so you might ask, how is that situation? And I'll go, oh, I'm totally good, until something similar happens with or similar to a problem that I've had in the past. And so now all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I'm not over that. I'm actually really hurt by that. But I'm telling you I'm over it because I want you to first leave me alone. And I think so many times we think, I want to be over it. I hope that I'm over it. And so I lie to myself that I am. And I'm not. And this all matters so much when we go through what we go through. Adversity, again, a couple definitions. Misfortune, trouble, difficulty, stress, suffering, heartache, pain. Adversity can be the greatest motivation for growth and the biggest detriment for disappointment. Hear this. The difference depends on how I perceive God's purpose for my life and what I'm going through. If I go through adversity and I think God hates me because I'm going through something, I will never see the purpose of what I'm going through. If I see that you're against me, if I see the people around me are against me, if I see my boss is against me, if I see my spouse is against me, I will never go through the adversity that I'm supposed to go through. The way I'm supposed to see, I will never see it the way it's supposed to be viewed because of that perspective. It is inevitable that it will happen. So let's talk about a couple things. And I'm going to just, honestly, like I have a point and that's it. That is kind of good and scary at the same time. If I told someone, like, I have 4 pages of notes, and people are like, 4 pages of notes? I'm like, yeah, it's usually 12. So it's kind of good, it's kind of not good. First thing is, our natural reaction is to remove the source of adversity, but God may want to use it to reveal where we are weak and growth is needed. See, my natural reaction is, how do I get out of this current situation? What if God is wanting to use your current situation to first and foremost reveal that you are weak in an area? It begs this question. How are you with confrontation? How are you if your spouse, best friend, coworker, whoever you view the most close person you have in your life, comes to you and addresses an issue that you know you struggle in, and they bring it up? My question to us today is, what is your natural reaction to that? And then my backup is, if it's not good, then what happens to a God that you do not see, and maybe you don't have that great of a relationship with, corrects you? Do I respond well to that correction? Who loves in this room for our weaknesses to be revealed? Oh yeah, I totally love that. I love to sit in a room where people can just talk to me about how weak I am in certain areas. It's awesome. Job said it this way. By means of their suffering, he rescues those who suffer. That's the good news. For he gets their attention through adversity. Adversity first gets our attention. Do you know that the things you might be going through is so that your eyes are opened? Like, that's the reason you're going through. What you're going through is the reason you're having a relationship issue, because what they are saying might be true. It just might not be how you would have said it. So adversity, first and foremost, is to get our attention, to wake us up. And again, some of us in this room, myself included, I'm stubborn. I need a lot of adversity before I wake up. What is that? Well, I'm stubborn. And I can blame my parents. I can blame my upbringing. I can make all the excuses in the world. But at the end of the day, it's on me if I'm not understanding this. It's to get our attention. It's also a reminder that first and foremost, not only my attention, but when my attention is done, I have to look to God. Listen, if what you're going through, you don't take what you're going through and give it to God, you will never move forward correctly until that happens. So if you're in this room, you're like, well, you know, this is happening in my life and everything around me is going on. If you haven't taken that to God, don't ever take it to somebody else first. What is God's perspective on what it is that you're going through? Because we tend to find people that agree with our position. So you might be going through something and it might have been what he or she did to you. Now you're finding people who agree with you. God might not. God might say to you, you need to shut your mouth when you're around so-and-so. It is a disservice to us when we're going through what we're going through if we don't take it to God first. And you know when I take it to God? When he gets my attention. It's the only way. Psalm 119 says, my suffering was good for me. How many times have we said that? Man, what I was going through, it was so good. That suffering was so good. For it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. What? What taught you to pay attention to the Lord's decrees, the Lord's commands, suffering? Do I view adversity that way? Paul told the First Corinthian church, but we would examine, he's talking about communion, he's talking about self-examination, because this is what adversity does. It causes us to self-examine. Because again, if my eyes are open and I take it to the Lord, here's who the Lord is going to correct first, you. See, when I take what I'm going through, my problems, my people problems, my struggles, when I take them to the Lord first, now I see from the Lord's perspective. When I see from the Lord's perspective, I view people differently. You know why? Because I view people the way the Lord views people. But I can't do that in opposite order. I can't go to people and love them without first the love of God. And if I'm skipping the process of going to the Lord first, I will never go through what I'm going through. And here's the reality. Adversity, for the most part, in all of us, has to do with people. Yes, there's doctor reports. There's things that happen that are out of our control. But let's agree, for the most part, people drive us crazy. Anybody? Yeah, I mean, like, you're sitting next to him. You're sitting next to her. There is moments in your marriage where you're like, my God, I need a break. And that doesn't mean you don't love your spouse. It means there are some things that are going on in the middle and we're failing to talk about those things. And because we're failing to talk about those things, now we've built this bridge. We've built this divide. We've built all of these things that are going on. And we're saying things like, I don't know why you're driving me nuts right now. Because reality has had nothing to do with that person. And so Paul's saying, examine you first. Examine what's going on inside of you, because here's the reality. The adversity that you're going through is proving one thing, whether you're weak or strong. Now, I was raised in a house that had some basement issues. We had some flooding issues. And this is just a practical thing, you guys, of me now growing up, having owned homes, I always think about that. If it rains, I wonder if there's water in my basement, okay? I mean, I would build a house with no basement. I would build, I despise basements. It's just who I am. It's how I was raised. So the house that we live in now, two times we've had water in our basement, okay? When it rains, I view rain totally different. But guess what? I've fixed the problem. I've said I fixed the problem. I've had guys in this room that have helped me fix the problem. Do you know how I know the problem's fixed? I have to wait for the storm to come. That's the only way I for sure know that it's fixed. And so now I'm like, Lord, let it rain. I want to know how good Pastor Sean is at putting dirt in. Right? I want to know how well we did. I want an evaluation. What is this? I need a storm to come for me to evaluate whether what I did was right. Guys, we need storms in our life. They play a part, that we need adversity. It is an examination in our own lives of knowing whether we're on the right track. For the first time, I promise you, for the first time in my life, it rains and I do not care. Because my boys' rooms are in the basement. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kind of kidding, you know. No, I mean, I'm just... No, but for real, it's the first time. Because we found the problem and we fixed it. This is what adversity does. God uses adversity to crush our pride. If you're reading Proverbs at all, if you're staying on pack, there's a couple themes that are happening. Wisdom. Obviously, we're asking the question, right? What Pastor Sean and Shelley and Pastor Sean talked about 2 weeks ago. What's the wise thing to do here? It's wisdom. But it talks so much about pride. Adversity, the intent of it is to crush our pride. Because there is nothing we can do moving forward if we're going to stay prideful. In fact, if you're in this room, you're like, it feels like the theme of my life is that this conflict or this adversity isn't going away. I would say, for the most part, we're not choosing humility in that part. We're not choosing, you know what humility says? Humility says, I need help and can't do this on my own. Its intent is to crush our pride. And pride is at the root of many conflicts that you and I go through. Right? Pride is the root of that. The conflict that you and I are going through relationally, it's because we've taken a stand of like, you're wrong, I'm right, that's it. That's pride, you guys. Because here's the reality. If there's a disagreement that's happening in your life right now, you played a part. Now, it might have been 10%. It might have been 90% them. It could have been 80% them. But if I'm focused on the 80% and I'm not focused on what my role is in it, then I'm never going to get past it. It's always going to be 80% people problem. It's always going to be what you did to me. It's always going to be those things. And pride says it's your fault, whereas humility says, what role did I play? How did I contribute to this conflict? Is there adversity that's going on because of what I've done? It's always self-examination. Second thing, big theme, is our natural reaction is to react to people or our problems. But God wants us to recognize who the enemy is. Listen, listen. Your adversity is not the person sitting next to you. Your adversity is not your boss. Your adversity is the enemy that wants to destroy your life. It is the devil. And the more I realize that my husband is the enemy, the more I will never see the grace of God that he bestowed onto me that he also wants to bestow onto him. I will never see it. If I'm viewing a person or a problem as my enemy, I will never see it in the right perspective. I will never get through adversity. I will never get through all that. It's the enemy that is trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy your faith. He's trying to destroy your family. We know the plan. We know the schemes that he's up to. He's doing everything he can to divide you. So the animosity that you feel towards your spouse or your kids or your best friend or your coworker or your boss, it's not the person, it's the enemy. And that's his plan. And the more I choose pride, which is what divided him, which is what was his downfall, the more I choose what his downfall was, is the more I'm going to be on that side. That's what adversity does. This is why Ephesians 6 talks about putting on this armor. This is why Ephesians talks about we have to be people that are equipped. We got to be people that are you know, ready for the battle, because you're in a battle. Your life is a battle. Your life is a battle. Francis Chan says, listen, your role as the pastor is to equip people. The problem is that most people don't see you as a physical trainer. They see you as a massage therapist. It's not my job. Our job is to equip people. This is our role as leaders in the church, to equip people for what? For the battle that's at hand. It is a battle that is at hand. It would be wrong of me to sit up here and just say, listen, guys, you've come to Jesus. Man, life is about to get awesome. No more fighting with your spouse, man. It is going to be incredible. She's going to come home. You're going to come home and there's going to be dinner. I mean, it is going to be the best intimate relationship you've ever had in your life. It is going to be amazing. Your kids, all of a sudden, because they come to church, wow, they know how to behave. Woo, they're super obedient. Man, this is what it is. It's not going to be like that. It's not. Yes, there's going to be great things that are happening. There's this realization that God's with me. But listen, it is going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle. And the more I realize that, the more that I understand who the real enemy is. Hear this today. Adversity doesn't mean defeat. Okay? We have to have the right perspective of what it is that we're going through. Stop feeling like your life is over because you're going through something. Maybe you're in the middle of seasons and you're like, God, have you forsaken me? I feel defeated. I feel like it's not. That's not the point. He says, listen, this is what Paul told the Corinthian church. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing the greatest treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get kicked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. He's saying, listen, you are more than a conqueror through Christ who has strengthened you. You are more than the one that has renewed your life, the one that has saved you, the one that has redeemed you, the one that has healed you. You are more than conquerors through him. And he says, listen, most of the time, this is me. This is my story. I'm not making it your story. Most of the time when I struggle through adversity, it's because I'm trying to fix it. Oh, God, I got this one. You take the back seat. Or you can even take the wheel. You could be the pilot. No. God, you need to be in control. And what I need to do is I need to humbly surrender my life to you and say, God, here I am. Would you just do with it whatever you want? Okay? Two more things. Adversity encourages us to become accountable. And adversity equips us to comfort others. Okay? Those two things. Adversity, when I go through it, it is so much easier. And we're going to talk about this in the whole month of September, about being better together. The whole idea of adversity is you need people. You don't need to need people to have meals with. You don't just need people to go to Six Flags and float trips with. You need people to do war with. To battle with. It causes us to be accountable. But then the Bible says that the point of what we're going through is that we might bring comfort to others. Like, that's the point. The point is that not just God coddles us or comforts us or extends grace. The whole point is that what he does to us, we do to others. And that's what he's saying to the Corinthian church. He says, listen, he comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort others. In this room are incredible stories. Incredible stories of God's grace, God's mercy. And there are men and women that are around your life that need to hear your story. And there are things that only you could speak into. The point is that you would comfort others through your story. And that brings meaning to why you're going through what you're going through. Okay? You guys, today, we get to leave and we get to go for the next week. We didn't all just text each other today to wear this. We are going to spend the next 5 days at RFK, Rural Family Kids. And there's going to be 30-plus kids from the foster care system that we get to just love on all week. And it's an incredible thing. 4 years ago, when God laid on our hearts to get involved in foster care as a church, as a community, you guys, I mean, we're going to have over 75 volunteers that are spending the whole week just loving on these kids. Guys, that is so incredible. And so I want us as a church to pray, because we're going to see the ultimate adversity. We're going to hear things that is very difficult to hear. And we get the opportunity, and so do you. you get the opportunity by praying. And so everybody that has this shirt on, if you guys would come up and come before the church today, go ahead. Don't be shy. Come on in, team. Most of them are in the well because they didn't want to be in service today. No, because they're going to be at the second service as well. So all of them, come up here. Come up on stage. I want you to see them. I want you to see their faces. And let me say this. You guys, this is not possible without first and foremost prayer. Secondly, raising funds. I mean, we have been blown away by the amount of money that has been raised to put this camp on. A huge shout out to our directors, Kelly Moyer, my wife Kelly Bridges, and Christy Bauman, for all of the work that they do. Guys, this is, again, this is not possible without so many. It's way more than 75. Okay? This is all of us. So I'm going to ask you to stand before we dismiss. And I'm going to ask some of you in this room. Go ahead, you can stand. I'm going to ask some of you in this room to stretch your hands. But I'm going to ask some of you to actually come up on stage. And if you would join us, okay? Laying hands on these guys and praying. So if you're in this room, that's you. You don't mind coming up. Go ahead. It's okay. It's all right. Maybe just get behind. Yeah. No, it's, Sarah wants to. Jim, Louise, why don't you guys come up? Come on. Just gather around these guys. I just want us to pray. Casey and Shelly, they're going to sing a song as kind of an anthem, you guys, for what we're about to do this week. And so, would you just stretch your hands towards this team? Let's just have a moment of prayer. God, I'm thankful. So thankful for this team. God, the hours that have gone into preparing, the preparation. God, I pray that there's strength over this team. God, that they're not bogged down physically. They're not bogged down spiritually. They're not bogged down emotionally. God, they are ready for the task at hand. And that is to extend. That is to love. That is to wrap arms around those that are broken, those that are forgotten, those that have been abandoned. God, we get to radically change the life of young men and young women that have been forgotten by society, but not by you. So God, I pray that you would help us. Help us to be the hands and the feet. And God, I pray for every child, every student that is going to be at camp these next 5 days. God, I pray that their hearts are soft. God, that they would know that they are loved. They are not forgotten. They are not abandoned. You are with them. God, I pray that they would see Jesus this week. That their eyes are open to who you are. Your love for them. God, thank you. Thank you. Would you guys just keep praying as Casey sings? Just keep praying for us.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen, I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear you whisper, you have nothing left. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue.